Well, hello. My name is Irene. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I really don't have an extraordinary testimony like so many people do. It's quite extraordinary to me. And when I was doing the lesson, I was asking God, what do you want me to talk about tonight? I mean, you could start and just say how I became a Christian, you know, yada, yada. So I had this whole thing planned out beforehand, and it just didn't seem right, you know, just comfortable with it. So, but I was going to stick with that program until God had a total different direction. I was doing the study lesson for tonight, and it's on being powerless, how powerless we are without Christ. And all of a sudden, it just opened up a whole other area of my life where I was completely powerless. Growing up, I was always powerless because somebody else was always in control. If any of you that know my father, nobody had control except for him. So everything was always under his thumb. He was not very nice about it most times. And I didn't have control over anything. I couldn't make any decisions. All my decisions were always made for me. So I eventually turned to food because that was the one thing that I could control, even though it wasn't in a healthy way, but I can control that. So fast forward, as I'm growing older, everybody had control over me, and I would allow that because that's how the beliefs that I grew up with. When I got married, I was 20, and I thought, this is it. I'm going to get into a life where I'm going to have some control over here. And I had given my life over to Christ when I was 16, so I wasn't really looking to control my husband or, you know, him controlling me or anything like that, but he didn't. He was total opposite of what my father was. And he showed me love that didn't have to control to do that. We had a daughter, and living the good life, I don't want to say the perfect Christian life, but it was a good life. And then he died. And that powerless feeling was so overwhelming that it literally rocked my world. Instead of turning to the person that I had given my power over to God, I completely went the other direction. I totally lost it. And moving on and, you know, trying to raise my daughter, she was 7 at the time. When she was 8, I met my second husband. And I knew we shouldn't have done what we did. We moved in together. We lived together for 18 years and had a son. When Mark and I were together for a few years, I had my son, Max. And Shekinah was, I want to say about 13 when he was born. Shekinah was a great kid. Through everything that happened in her life, she was a great kid. Until she was about 14, it was like Shekinah went to bed one night, and the next morning there was an alien in her bed that looked like her. She totally went off the deep end. I mean, she just completely a different person. So as we, you know, raised our kids and then we moved to Nevada, she just became a problem. She was such a loving child. I didn't understand it. And she still was loving in certain areas. Getting into her teenage years, high school came along, nothing but trouble. Trouble, school, personal life, everything. She became obsessed with sex and boys. And backtrack just a half a second. For a while, I worked for Dr. Dobson, and he had written a book called Love Must Be Tough. And I remember reading it and studying about it and listening to him talk about it, and that was in the back of my head. Well, when Shekinah had decided to drop out of school in her senior year, things have escalated at the house. And it escalated to the point of she needed to leave. And it sounded easy enough, but it's really hard for you to tell your kid that you've got to get out. And all of a sudden, that powerlessness came over. I had no control over my daughter at all. And I had to trust God to take care of her. And I could share a lot of different stories, but I literally had to put her out and close the door on her. And several times, there was times when I had to drive by her and I'd see her and I couldn't talk to her. I knew that I had to do that because I have a sister who my parents had enabled all her life, and I knew that that didn't work, and I wasn't going to be one of those parents that was going to enable her. The Lord gave me a verse in Jeremiah, and it says, "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land." I knew that to be true, but I didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime. Many years went by. We didn't see Shekinah for a lot of those years. She became pregnant. We got with her a little bit, and so she was at a home for pregnant teens. When she decided, we had something to do with that she decided to give the baby up for adoption because she was in no place to raise kids. She was on drugs. She was drinking, and so with that, we found parents at a place called City of Hope, and parents in Oregon that adopted Matthew at 3 days old. So they took him away right away, so we never had anything to do with Matthew. Not much. I mean, we were still his grandparents, but it was an open adoption, but we didn't see much of him because then Shekinah, when she was supposed to straighten out her life, she moved back in and everything was hunky-dory, and again, I thought I was in control a little bit and totally not in control. And she went off the deep end again. So I had to do that all over again, realizing that setting those boundaries with her, I had to do that because it was creating such unhealth in my home for my son, my husband, and myself. 2 years later, she got pregnant again, and she insisted she keeps this child. And so my granddaughter was born, Laura. Well, her name was Alora. And they lived in motels and homeless shelters, and it was terrible. 3 years go by, and I did everything I can to get that kid out of there, and eventually I succeeded. She kind of gave up her rights to her children. So through her drug years, she lost her children. Same people that adopted my grandson, though, adopted my granddaughter. And I was able to be a part of her life, still am. The powerlessness part of that was when we think that, as parents, we think that we have control over our children, and we don't. God wants us to trust Him. And without that, whether the kids behave or unbehave, they're still not our children. God gave them to us as a gift. When I turned it over to God, I had such a peace about it. A lot of people say, well, that's mean, and you didn't love your children, you didn't love your grandchildren. But I knew that God had it in control because of that verse that He gave me. So fast forward really quick. September of 2011, my daughter was arrested, and they gave her a choice to go to drug court or jail for the felony. And she was the star pupil in her drug court. She has been clean and sober since. She is walking in that sobriety. And I got to see the result of this verse, that she did return to the Lord. My grandchildren, we have a great relationship. And I'm pleased to say that. So it's just giving things over to the Lord. It sounds easy to do, but when it's your children, when it's something that's really close to you, it's hard. But hard is the pathway to holy. Easy is anybody can do easy. God wants us to do the hard stuff. So on that note, I would like to turn this over to Jen.